Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hey, everybody. Let's begin today with something new and something old from the NSA surveillance controversy. The something new, Edward Snowden has now leaked evidence to a Chinese newspaper of alleged U.S. cyberspying against China. And he expressed faith in that interview in the Hong Kong justice system to deal with him. What do these new developments teach us about espionage and about Snowden? And the something old, did the director of national intelligence, James Clapper, commit perjury when he was asked about massive surveillance in a congressional hearing? Critics say he did, that he should be fired, and that his crime makes Edward Snowden a whistleblower, not just a leaker under the law. Remember, a whistleblower uncovers actual wrongdoing, not just a policy he disagrees with. So let's take the Clapper story first. And here's the clip. It's from a March 12th congressional hearing, and the questioner is U.S. Senator Ron Wyden, Democrat from Oregon.
Last summer, the NSA director was at a conference, and he was asked a question about the NSA surveillance of Americans. He replied, and I quote here, "The story that we have millions or hundreds of millions of dossiers on people is completely false." The reason I'm asking the question is, having served on the committee now for a dozen years, I don't really know what a dossier is in this context. So what I wanted to see is if you could give me a yes or no answer to the question, does the NSA collect any type of data at all on millions or hundreds of millions of Americans?
No, sir.
It does not.
Not wittingly. There are cases where they could inadvertently, perhaps, collect, but not wittingly.
That's it. No, sir. Not wittingly. James Clapper, the director of national intelligence. And again, that was in March of this year, less than 2 months before the leaked court document showed that the answer was clearly yes, and yes, wittingly. Clapper may have dug his hole yet a little deeper last weekend on the Today Show when asked by NBC's Andrea Mitchell why he answered Senator Wyden the way he did.
I have great respect for Senator Wyden. I thought, though, in retrospect, I was asked a when are you going to stop beating your wife kind of question, which is meaning not answerable necessarily by a simple yes or no. So I responded in what I thought was the most truthful or least untruthful manner by saying no. And again, to go back to my metaphor, what I was thinking of is looking at the Dewey Decimal numbers of those books in that metaphorical library. To me, collection of U.S. person's data would mean taking the book off the shelf and opening up and reading it.
Taking the content.
Exactly. That's what I meant.
Now, you did not mean archiving the telephone numbers.
No.
Oh, boy, we have new definitions of dossier, new definitions of collect, and I guess of least untruthful. Director of National Intelligence James Clapper on NBC. So did he commit perjury? Should he be fired by President Obama? Does this in any way provide legal cover for Edward Snowden? Call in if you care about this part of the story, 212-433-WNYC. And let's talk to Fred Kaplan, Slate Magazine's military affairs columnist. And you might say he's got a dossier on General Petraeus. He's the author of The Insurgents, David Petraeus and the Plot to Change the American Way of War. Hi, Fred. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, thanks.
And your column posted Tuesday had a straightforward headline, Fire James Clapper. Why should they?
Well, I'm not saying he should be fired because he committed a crime. I don't know if it is a crime, although lying to Congress is technically a felony. When they indicted Oliver North many years ago, the first three counts of the indictment were for lying to Congress. He wasn't found guilty on any of those three. But anyway, mine was more a question of trust. The lead was, if President Obama really does want to have a serious debate on these issues, James Clapper must go, because what James Clapper demonstrated in that hearing was that he is not to be trusted to engage in an open debate. Whether he really believes that definition of collect that you played, it's irrelevant whether he believes it or not. If he doesn't believe it, then that means he's lying. If he does believe it, that means he's got a notion of the English language that is so flexible that you don't really know what he's meaning when he's saying something where you might think you know what he's meaning.
And so his definition,
that's my
it's a matter of trust about having an open conversation. And I guess his definition of collect was that it doesn't mean to gather. It means to actually listen in on the content of what you've gathered. One of the arguments in defense of Clapper is that the law gives him permission to lie under oath in that case, might even require it, because this is a top-secret program authorized by Congress. If he tells the truth, he tips off the terrorists to a major secret tool, and the law just does not demand that he do that. Fair point?
No. There is a long-standing tradition of government witnesses placed in this kind of circumstance, in some cases wittingly. I mean, it's indisputable that that the congressman, that the Senator Wyden was trying to trap him in this.
Because Wyden is a known opponent of the program.
Yeah, also Wyden knew what the answer was. He has been fully briefed on these matters as a member of the committee. There is a long-standing tradition of saying, Senator, this question, as you know, raises some very complex issues, and I believe that we should discuss this in a closed session. Many, many government witnesses have said this over the years and decades, and he could have done the same.
That would have been evasion or gobbledygook.
No,
what's the ethical difference between lying flat out and lying by evasion? You're saying not evasion.
Well, let's say, Brian, you asked me if I killed a man on the corner of 12th Street and 8th Avenue last night, and I would say, Brian, that's such an insulting question, I'm not going to even answer it. Okay, that's an evasion. If I said, no, I didn't, but I really did, that's a lie.
Fred, did you kill a man on the corner of 12th Avenue?
No, I want to make very clear that I did not. Yeah.
Let's talk about Snowden. Do you think any of this provides legal cover for Snowden? And we'll also ask the legendary First Amendment lawyer Floyd Abrams, who will be on the show later. But he could get whistleblower protection rather than be criminally charged as a leaker if he was exposing government wrongdoing, not just a policy difference. And at least one columnist on the left has written that releasing the Verizon document exposed Clapper's perjury in that exchange, so Snowden's legitimately a whistleblower.
I think that's a big, big stretch. He didn't mention anything about Clapper's lie. I don't think anybody does what Snowden did because he was watching a hearing on television and saw one official lie. Not only that, but lie to someone who knew that he was lying. No, it doesn't ring true. That this has been in the works for well before Clapper gave his testimony. And also, you know, what he did the other day, I mean, whatever you think of Clapper, I mean, of Snowden, by giving an interview to a Hong Kong newspaper saying that the United States has been cyber hacking into Hong Kong and Chinese computers, you know, this isn't blowing the whistle for the American people so that they can know what their government has been doing in their name. This is telling foreign people and foreign governments what we are doing. I mean, is he next going to give an interview to Izvestia saying what we've been doing in Russia? Is he going to be giving an interview to, I don't know, pick your favorite country and tell them, you know, to what extent intelligence operations are going on there? I think he's really done serious damage to his credibility as a, you know, he said, I'm not a hero or a whistleblower. I'm not a hero or a traitor. I'm an American. Hmm. Well, you know, this isn't the kind of things that Americans of any stripe do.
Listeners, does this Edward Snowden disclosure to a Chinese newspaper about U.S. spying specifically against China change your impression of him, if you were at first inclined to support him and what he did? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And does President Obama need to fire the Director of National Intelligence, Mr. Clapper, in order to have an honest conversation with the American people now about the surveillance program? Susan in Westchester on Clapper. Hi, Susan. You're on WNYC.
Hi. As far as Mr. Clapper is concerned, I really think we need to back away from rushing to judgment and getting rid of, from what I've heard, has been a very good public servant in the past. When that question was asked, I think that the only answer he could give was the one that he did give, because any other answer would be interpreted by the media and dissected in minutia to mean that, yes, there was surveillance going on, and I don't think he was ready at that point to answer that and to address all those issues that are coming up right now.
Fred, what about that specific point,
well,
that if he in effect took the fifth there, he would be implying, yeah, we do that?
Well, let me ask you, let me point out one other thing that Wyden mentioned the next day. Apparently, Senator Wyden gave Mr. Clapper a day's notice that he was going to ask this question. This wasn't something that caught him off guard. This is something that he could have prepared an answer to. After the hearing, Wyden's staff approached Mr. Clapper and said, would you like to revise that answer for the record? And he said no. So, it's not like, clever Senator Wyden trapping the head of the National Intelligence. First of all, if our Director of National Intelligence isn't clever enough to come up with an answer that evades without causing further suspicion, then, something is wrong.
What about Susan's larger point that he's been a very good public service servant? I don't know that much about Clapper's record. Do you covering these kinds of affairs?
I'm not really sure. None of us do. Let's say he is a terrific head of intelligence, and frankly, I don't know. We're getting to a point in this conversation where not just we need frankness, but so does Congress. Look, we're not going to learn everything about this program. We should not learn everything about this program. There are deliberately special intelligence committees set up to provide oversight. Not everybody, even in Congress and the Senate, can learn everything. That's why these special select committees were set up in the wake of the Church hearings back in the 70s. Okay, listen, these people, this hand-picked collection of senators and congressmen, they are going to be cleared on everything. They're going to know everything, and they will provide oversight on our behalf. You cannot provide oversight if you cannot trust the guy coming to you to tell everything is using everyday English in a purposefully evasive way.
Susan, thank you for your call. My guest is Fred Kaplan, Slate Magazine's military affairs columnist and author of the book The Insurgents, David Petraeus and the Plot to Change the American Way of War. Did you ever ask Petraeus, by the way? He was director of the CIA. You had access to him for your book, right? Did you ever ask him about this kind of surveillance?
I have to tell you, both before and since, Petraeus never would talk about anything regarding the CIA to me.
Only?
Absolutely nothing.
His time as a counterinsurgency general.
Right.
Tom in Astoria, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tom.
Hi. I've been dying to ask this question to someone who could report on it. What is the Chinese connection to Snowden's revelations? I mean, isn't this a perfect cover for the story that the Chinese are stealing our military secrets? And aren't the Chinese extremely sensitive about losing face? And wouldn't this have huge historical implications and echo through history that they leapfrogged with our technology?
Yeah, it's certainly a refutation on one level to Obama's charge, which he and the president of China President Xi at their summit last week looked uncomfortable with each other about, and that is this Chinese cyber espionage or even hacking attacks against U.S. computers. Well, if this story helps turn the narrative around, Fred, and says the U.S. is doing the same thing to China, kind of neutralizing who the good guys and the bad guys are in this story. Well, for one thing, maybe that's accurate. And for another thing, what's Snowden's real interest here and who's he really working for?
Right. Well, look, it's been known for many years that China has been stealing American military secrets, industrial secrets. I mean, not just through cyber attacks, but just good old-fashioned methods of industrial espionage. There's really not much new there. It's also, look, we invented cyber warfare. We invented cyber technology. The general who's in charge of the NSA is also in charge of U.S. Cyber Command. He just requested money for 14 new cyber offensive teams, not defensive teams, offensive teams. We're all doing this. Now, again, what was in that Hong Kong newspaper is nothing new to any Chinese official. But yeah, you're right. What it does, if we're trying to tell the Chinese, listen, we need to start setting up some rules of the road on how we manage this whole cyber business, it does take away the rhetorical value of your campaign if it says, oh, by the way, you guys are doing exactly the same thing that we are denying that we're doing.
Tom, did you get an answer to your question?
Yeah, I just think that it's a big success for the Chinese politically.
Politically, it seems like it is. Though maybe realistically, both sides really do need to come to the table as equals on this and negotiate some kinds of rules of the road that go both ways. I want to play a clip of NSA Director General Keith Alexander testifying on Capitol Hill yesterday, and he said he knows of no way that Snowden's charge could be true, that the NSA could tap into any American's phone or computer. The question was asked by Senator Susan Collins of Maine.
Mr. Snowden claimed that due to his position at NSA, he could tap into virtually any American's phone calls or emails. True or false?
False. I know of no way to do that.
He knows of no way to do that? Fred, do you think Alexander was lying under oath, too?
No. I think he said he doesn't know any way for this. He could do it if Alexander wanted to order a court-ordered wiretap. Let's go back to what Snowden said. Snowden said in his interview with The Guardian that sitting at his desk, he had the authority to tap in anybody's phone. And I think that is definitely not true. As some kind of guy with access to all the computer systems, could he have done this? Frankly, I don't know. Maybe. Did he have the authority to do that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
He also said the phone records program has helped to prevent dozens of terrorist attacks, or as he put it, terrorist events. Listen.
It's dozens of terrorist events that these have helped prevent.
And he went on.
When I say dozens, what I'm talking about here is that these authorities complement each other in helping us identify different terrorist actions and help disrupt them.
So the NSA Director General Keith Alexander on Capitol Hill yesterday, but he would only cite one example publicly, Fred, the Najib al-Azazi New York City subway bombing plot in 2009. And that's certainly of interest to our New York listeners. From what you've seen of this story now, is it clear to you what the connection was between this universal electronic data collection and disrupting that plot?
Not really. But, I mean, you know, here's the thing. What General Alexander is saying may very well be true. And that's one reason why we need to have some kind of debate on this. Maybe the debate cannot be had in public. Maybe it all has to be done, or most of it, some of it, has to be done behind closed doors, which is why, again, it's important that the people giving the briefings behind closed doors be trustworthy. You know, let's get clear on what's going on here. Basically, they are collecting, in the common sense use of that term, vast amounts of data, you know, everything, all phone calls, you know, email traffic, all of that. Now, they're not sitting there listening to our phone conversation right now. I mean, you know, nobody, even if they wanted to, there's no time for this.
Just tune to 93.9, yeah. General Alexander.
That's right. But let's say, you know, they do traffic, automatic computer-generated traffic analysis, and let's say they notice that such-and-such phone number has lately called Pakistan, then called Afghanistan, then the same guy downloaded a manual on how to make a bomb, and then he called somebody in New York. And then, you know, the computer would take all that. This is called data mining. It's mm-hmm. mining the data. And it says, okay, signals go up, okay, you know, alarms go off. This guy is worth at least taking a look into. Now, quite honestly, Brian, I don't have any problem with that. The question is, what we have discovered recently is that the data mining isn't even, they're mining all the data. They've got everything. I interviewed last week a very prominent terrorism expert named Brian Jenkins. You know, this is no bleeding heart libertarian. This is the guy, he's been studying terrorism back since the early 70s when people thought that people who did studied terrorism were a little bit flaky.
Bleeding heart libertarian is bleeding heart. Right. That might be an oxymoron, but that's another show.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he created the first database of international terrorists. Some of his ideas on countering terrorism have been adopted into policy. And what he told me, he said his concern, you know, everything that we're doing, each single thing that we're doing, you know, has a reasonable explanation for it. You can look at it and you can say, well, that seems like a reasonable thing to do. But what happens is that yesterday's outrage becomes today's normal mm-hmm. and then becomes the baseline
yeah.
for further intrusiveness tomorrow. And his concern is that, he didn't put it this way, I'll put it this way. If another Richard Nixon becomes president, all right, There are the tools available to this president to do lots of horrid things. As Jenkins did put it, we are creating the foundation for a very oppressive state.
And I was surprised by this new Gallup poll yesterday. Americans disapprove of the broad surveillance program by 53% to 37%. Honestly, Fred, and then we're out of time, I would have guessed most Americans would feel protected and that they themselves were at no risk of abuse if they weren't doing anything wrong.
Well, 3 days earlier, I think, the numbers were sort of reversed. I think public opinion on this is highly variable. I would say if General Alexander tomorrow comes out with a fairly detailed itemization of a dozen terrorist plots that were prevented because of this,
the whole thing flips.
Those numbers could switch plus some.
Like it may flip after today's China South China Post interview on Snowden, came up about even in that Gallup poll. All right, we have to leave it there. Sorry to say, with Fred Kaplan, military affairs columnist for Slate and author of the book The Insurgents, David Petraeus and the Plot to Change the American Way of War. Fascinating, Fred. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we'll talk more about these in a little while with the legendary constitutional lawyer Floyd Abrams, who will be on the show, more about these issues. But coming up next, New York State Senator Liz Krueger on Governor Cuomo's new women's protection proposal, including codification of Roe versus Wade in New York state law. Senator Krueger next. Stay tuned.